Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with a new friend of the show, Pat Brennan. You will be seeing his work covering the Bengals. I know a lot of you are familiar with his work covering FC Cincinnati and various things for the Enquirer over the years. We're super excited to have Pat and, of course, here with podcast producer and photographer Sam Green. So we got the whole crew here ready to get back to talking about Bengals. They are back from the bye week and there are plenty of things to talk about. So Pat, welcome to the show.
Kelsey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you on and to have you on board to cover these next six games because there is going to be a lot of interesting storylines and topics with this Bengals team as they try and make a run here. So I'll start with, because you've loosely been following the Bengals, mm-hmm. you live in Cincinnati, you follow our sports coverage. Do you at this point think, having been in open locker room on Monday, Zach Taylor's press conference, do you think that the Bengals have it in them to run the table, win six games, and make it into the playoffs?
No, I don't. I'm sorry to your listeners that feel that way. And it's great to be here. Thank you again. I don't feel that way, unfortunately. And I know that's a bummer to say out loud. Mm-hmm. But here we are at this stage in the season at 4-7. I tend to think the book is out on who this team is, what they're capable of. The defense, you and Jason Williams have done a great job, telling the story of this team up to this point, and this defense is what it is at this point. And I don't think that's going to be enough. I'm sure there will be exciting moments, great, some wins coming down the stretch here, but I don't see running the table as a realistic possibility, and that starts for me with some concerns going into this Sunday against Pittsburgh.
Well, so let's talk about that particular situation. So I wrote a story that's up on Cincinnati.com if you're listening and you want a better look at the AFC playoff standings. Number one, Kansas City, 10-1. Buffalo, 2-9-2. 3, Pittsburgh at 8-3. Number 4 seed, Houston at 7-5. Number 5 seed, Chargers at 7-3. Number 6 seed Baltimore at 7-4, and number 7 seed Denver at 7-5. For the Bengals to realistically get that final wild card spot, it would mean that they would have to win out, because I know there are people that say, well, you could get in at 9-8. In my opinion, you can't, because I think that Denver, I looked at their schedule, I think Denver's going to take care of business. And even if the Bengals beat the Broncos, I have more confidence that the Broncos' overall record is going to be better than Cincinnati's. And then you also have to look out for the Dolphins, because they're making some noise down there. And I think that I agree with what you said about the books just like out about this Bengals team. And yesterday I was on Mo Egger's show and he asked me about the defense specifically. And I said, I don't think it's realistic to think much can change at this point. Yes, the bye week, you hear, it gives time for everybody to take a breath, come back, rejuvenate themselves. Like, unless the Bengals are going to roll out, you know, 3 new premier D tackles and edge rushers and new safeties, like, I'm not expecting much different. I think they'll play better, but to think that they're just going to go from being one of the worst defenses in the NFL to one good enough is, I think, a bit of a stretch. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I noticed in the locker room on Monday, the players seemed reserved. And I was just, again, I haven't been in the locker room up until this point. And no stranger to the locker room, except for the fact that it's been 5 years for me since I've covered a Bengals game. So most of the names, if not all of the names, have changed. The locker room itself looks incredible. That was my first look at it. But just based on what I know of a professional locker room, it seemed upbeat, but the player seemed reserved. Like there was an awareness of who and what they are. That was just what I sensed parachuting in from the vibe. And I think that's rooted in the facts of what we've seen over 11 games. And I think if you're looking for a silver lining, it is, you will find it as a Bengals fan in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, because with them, you will always have a chance. But that we have seen up to this point, that has not been enough to overcompensate for the defense. Combine that with the special teams play, particularly in the kicking game, which I wrote about this week. And yeah, it just doesn't, running the tape, I think they can have a fine home stretch coming down to the end of the season here, but running the table, I agree with you, that does look like it would need to be what happens here. Again, starting with the Steelers, I think any hope of running the table is dashed by 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Well, in specific to that game, we'll get into the matchups and all of that in a little bit here, but if they cannot beat the Steelers at home, they have yet to beat a team with a winning record. I just, at some point, and I know it's so hard for fans to officially throw the towel in and give up hope, but although they technically wouldn't be out, because if they lost to the Steelers, you know, you never know what could happen with Denver. You know, you can't, it's not, they won't be out of it completely. But like, here's where I go with it. Stop thinking that a light switch is going to turn on. Yeah. If they cannot beat a good team, they haven't beat a good team all year long. They've gotten close. Well, you don't get medals for coming close.
Yeah.
This is a performance-based industry. Yes, they've come close to some of the best teams in the AFC. But if you can't be firing on all cylinders for once this year, because there's been games, the offense has played great. There's been games where the defense has actually played okay. And then there's been not, I will say, there has not been a game in which special teams has been firing on all cylinders in terms of punting and kicking. If you can't put all of that together after your bye week at home against a team that's playing really well, like, to me, it's like put up or shut up time for the Bengals. Yeah. And that, I felt that way going into the Chargers game, but especially now coming out of the bye. Like, if you the leaders of the Bengals and Zach Taylor's coaching staff can't come up with their best game plan when you have had a full week, please just don't talk to me about the playoffs. That's where I feel about it. And I know it's and I know what people could say, like, it's a harsh reality, but it's the truth.
If you're a fan, be a fan. Hold on to that hope. You can be irrational. You have the right to do that. But if you're going to come at you, or even me at this point, you know, you have to look at it objectively based on the evidence that is set before you by the team. It's not like you're wishing this on the team. You're basing this off of, again, their performance. And yeah, I agree with everything you've said. And you know what bums me out for Bengals fans? Because this city is so much more vibrant and fun. It's, first of all, Cincinnati, in my opinion, big summer city. This city blossoms in the summer. But when the Bengals are good, as they have been for, 21, 22, they brought the city to light during the cold month, during the kind of the cold month part of the calendar, in a way I had never seen before during those years.
It's a really good point.
I don't wish that on the city or the Bengals. You know, I think in a sense, if there's any sense where we would root for them, I think it would be in that sense, because, you know, we serve the community at the newspaper, and, you know, we want to see this community thriving. And I think when the Bengals are good, this city thrives in a cultural sense. But one thing I wanted to say about coming out of this bye week for the Bengals is that one of the things I don't like about it for them is that part of that bye week advantage that you would normally expect is, in my mind, negated by the fact that the Steelers played a Thursday night game the week prior. So they were able to eat into some of that time advantage the Bengals had to prepare for this game,
right?
Which is interesting for me, the way that worked out, that you would have a rivalry game, Bengals are hosting, and their biggest rival is able to kind of eat into the Bengals' bye week advantage by playing a Thursday night game the week prior. Very interesting to me. But that's another aspect of this whole dynamic going into Sunday that I don't like for Cincinnati.
So let's talk a little bit more about this matchup. The Steelers, everyone, you know, thought coming in, the Steelers, obviously with Mike Tomlin, you think that they're going to be good every year. The Steelers are never going to be bad with Mike Tomlin as their head coach.
Like, I'll take,
yeah. Like, I feel like I'm okay with taking that statement to my grave. That's how much confidence I have in Mike Tomlin. But they've surprised a lot of people in the football world, including myself, in how good of a team they have been. And the Steelers deserve respect when you talk about them. And I know that's hard for people to hear, but hear me out. So many people bag on the Steelers offense because they're not good in the red zone, or Russell Wilson is eh. It's like everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Steelers instead of just looking at it like they are 8-3. They've beaten the Ravens. You know, they have taken care of business when they need to take care of business, and they deserve the utmost respect. And that's how I'm looking at it. Their defense is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They rank number 4 in points allowed per game, 16.9. Their edge rushers, well, Alex Highsmith's injured right now, but like TJ Watt has always been a huge issue for the Bengals. Even when the Bengals feel like they have a great game plan on how to control him, he wrecks the game. And then Minkah Fitzpatrick's a phenomenal safety. They added Patrick Queen, who the Bengals know really well from his time in Baltimore. And their run game has been great. They rank, you know, in the top 10 in rushing offense. They play really good defense, and they have a quarterback now who you can feel how you want to feel about Russell Wilson, but he can put the ball where he needs to put the ball, and he's an experienced quarterback. So I'm here to give the Steelers respect because I feel like they deserve that. And that's what makes this matchup to me an intriguing one for the Bengals, because the Steelers have their identity. The Bengals don't. So we'll see what we get out of this Bengals team, because, you know, the Bengals want to throw it around all day long, and the Steelers defense will be physical, and they'll make it, you know, really challenging. So I'll start with our conversation with this specific matchup with you. Like, what, I know we'll get more into it today when we're down there talking to Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, what matchup intrigues you the most that you are excited to watch in the press box now that you're going to be tackling the Bengals with me?
I am interested to see Joe Burrow against the Steelers defensive front, because what I have observed anecdotally of the Steelers this year is that the defensive front is stout, formidable, and is going to make real challenges for what is inarguably the strength of the Bengals team, which is its passing game. So I think that will, I mean, that's it. That is going to tell the story of the game for me.
I am really excited to see on the defensive side of the ball two matchups. Josh Newton is going to be starting at cornerback this week and moving forward now that DJ Turner is out. The Bengals are really excited. The coaching staff is really excited about what they saw from him when he went in for DJ Turner in LA. He's got a tough matchup, though, because him and Cam Taylor Britt are each going to see George Pickens. And Pickens is a big body, physical receiver who's really talented. And then they've got these little speedy guys, and then Pat Freiermuth over the middle. But I'm excited to see if Josh Newton, I had a chance to talk with him, and I'll have a story up this week on my conversation with Josh Newton. But like, he is approaching this with no fear. Like, he has so much belief in himself, which is great when you're heading into a matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have to have confidence, but you know that the Steelers are going to design their offensive game plan to attack a rookie who's in his first start. So I'm excited to see that one. And then how the Bengals defense plays against Pat Freiermuth, because if you've watched any game against the Bengals and Steelers in the last couple of years, Freiermuth has had a lot of success over the middle because the Bengals haven't quite figured out how to have a player who can be their go-to guy in covering that big body tight end. So those are the two matchups that I'm looking forward to watching.
Can I just say something about the Steelers? You know, looking over their results from this season, they will have what I would call a howler. They can produce a clunker, okay? Mm-hmm. They have some bad losses on the, you know.
Yeah.
Cowboys, Browns, obviously, in Thursday Night Football, their most recent outing. So another thing, if you're a Bengals fan, hanging on for hope, the Steelers team can lay an egg. That is possible. Totally. So,
And if the Bengals play the game that they haven't played yet, where they're clicking on all three cylinders, they can absolutely win this game. And then who knows where you can go from there. But you can't think about playoffs or whatever until you just win a game against a good team at home where you've been terrible this year. So huge game. The weather, it's going to be really cold.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this game has so many good storylines, because you'll find out, you keep finding out who the Bengals are. But I feel like, as I mentioned, coming off the bye, cold weather game, you'll find out if this Bengals team is legit enough to make a run down the end. Because in order for me to say I actually think they can find a way into that final wild card spot, they have to beat the Steelers and they have to look good doing
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. What was Zach Taylor's quote?
This is December football.
This is December football. Well, you know what?
Classic football coach quote.
Right. It's December 1st. You're at Paycor. You're at home.
Win this game.
You owe the fans one.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I think I saw today, as of Wednesday, the forecast high for Sunday is like right at freezing.
Yeah.
So 32 degrees. That is classic AFC North December football. As you said at the outset here, put up or shut up.
Yeah, exactly. A couple other things that I wanted to get to. Injury updates. I asked Zach Taylor on Monday if Orlando Brown was going to be back. Be huge boost for them, especially with some of those edge rushers that Pittsburgh has. He said, we'll let you know on Wednesday. But he was dressed for practice on Monday, so that's an encouraging sign. I know they felt like he's been close, so we'll see if he's able to come back after this bye. And then some other things regarding this specific game. I think that the Steelers are going to do everything they can to take away Ja'Marr Chase. And T. Higgins had a monster game against the Chargers. But for me, the key on offense for the Bengals in this particular game is getting started and getting up on the Steelers early, because they're the type of team that, as you mentioned, that Browns game, like if you let them hang around, they'll find a way. So if they can get T. Higgins going like they did against the Chargers, I think will be really huge, because I fully believe that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the Steelers game plan is going to start and end with taking away him.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How do you, because I was able to write about Evan McPherson and his kicking struggles, not just against the Chargers, which was kind of the low point for him, not this season, but maybe in his career. And I have wondered this week, you know, I think we saw against the Chargers that the impact of an uncertain kicking game on the rest of the offense, obviously all of these things are interconnected to everything else. Do you have a sense at this point? Maybe you'll have a better one after we talk to some people down at the stadium today. Do you have a sense of how this offense is going to move forward now with the uncertainty in the kicking game?
Well, I was talking about this yesterday. We'll find out because Zach Taylor can tell us, sit at the podium and tell us he has all the confidence in the world. But if it's, you know, 56-yard kick in the wind and he decides, nope, we're going to go for it or we're going to punt.
Yeah.
That will tell you. But I think these next six games, it's imperative for Evan McPherson to turn it around, because the Bengals don't have, like, they have so many holes that they have to fix in the offseason, which I will have a lot of time to get to that. But, like, kicking can't be one.
They just paid him. Yeah.
He has been really reliable in years past. Like, this can't be a slump that turns into a spiral. The slump needed to end with the bye, you know?
Yeah. And maybe it will. I hope that's the story coming out of Sunday, or we'll see if that's the story coming out of Sunday. But I thought it was really interesting. Do you mind if I talk about
Gavin McPherson and stuff? By the way, Pat Brennan has a story up on Cincinnati.com. And if you're a fan wondering what is wrong with Evan McPherson this year, he provided a pretty interesting explanation.
Yeah, I think part of the explanation was he's still figuring it out himself. I know Derek Simmons, who I think we're going to hear from today.
Yes.
Yeah. In the past, I think he told Jeff Hobson from the Bengals website that he thinks some of this stuff is operation related. Mm-hmm. Evan wasn't disagreeing with Darren, but he didn't seem to think the operation was as big of a factor in what's going wrong right now. He seemed to be internalizing a lot of it. He pointed out correctly of himself that a lot of his misses are left right now. His belief, his understanding of himself, at least, is that for a right-handed kicker, you're more prone to miss right. So this actually ended up being a great story for me on Monday, Kelsey, because kicking balls, something I have a little bit of expertise in. So I can, I agree with his assessment. The missing left is really interesting. I think this is all about Evan. This might be between the ears. Mm. And I think it could be. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes here. I think that this could be a symptom of, again, when I said all of these things are related to one another, when the margin for error is so slim and he knows that his tendency, when he misses, is to miss right, I could totally oversee him, and he thinks this could be a factor. I could totally see him coming out for these kicks tight, especially in the pressure cooker kind of situations, thinking too much on it, actively thinking about not missing right, and then overcompensating on the kick where he contacts the ball and pulling it left. That makes total sense to me. So I think this comes down to Evan, where he's contacting the ball. Maybe it's fundamental stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it could be. And he's confident that he can get it figured out. This is statistically trending toward his worst year of the four that he's played. But I don't think people will remember that or think of the year in that way for him if he can finish really strong down the stretch here. If he can put this behind him coming out of the bye, like you said, you would hope that's what happens. This can be, you know, the story can have a happy ending here. But I think it sounds like this comes down to Evan. It could be between the ears, and it might just be him feeling the pressure of knowing that his margin for error is that much smaller.
Totally.
Because of the nature of how the season is going.
It's a big six-game stretch for him and the Bengals, because they got to get this figured out. And I agree with you. Like, he's been too good to think he's not going to be able to figure this out.
Yeah.
And Darren Simmons is a great coach, and I have full belief that they will get it figured out. But at some point, the production's got to start. You know, you can't keep saying, I'll figure it out. Like, it's got to match what you're saying. So that's a huge storyline heading into this week, because who knows, classic AFC North game. You think it might come down to 3 points and
cannot leave those points out.
And there, McPherson's got to, you know, he was voted a team captain this year on special teams, so he's got to pull his weight for this team. All right, that is it for some thoughts heading into Sunday's game. And I just wanted to give a thanks to all of our listeners and readers here at the Cincinnati Inquirer. As the day before Thanksgiving, thank you so much for reading and watching all of our content. We are so grateful for you, each one of you that reads and consumes our work. So I just wanted to make sure I said that. So I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you on Sunday for your coverage of the Bengals Steelers game.